The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in his true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through his minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
Raise him up, raise his souls up. Skepali da masanda librahanda shirabali anda bala kelibra ora sabali anash kepani anda. We thank you, our Father. We are grateful this morning. We are grateful for all you have done. Thank you for your mercies and kindness. Thank you for your leading and direction. Thank you for what you have done in the past 7 days. All the glory to you, Jesus. We are grateful and ever be grateful to you. Thank you. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Our Father. The devil is in trouble. I say hell is in trouble. Grave is in trouble. Death is in trouble. For it shall come to pass the same. Death, where is thy sting?
Hallelujah.
Grave, where is thy victory?
Yes.
Oh, because the strength of sin will be destroyed.
Amen.
By the everlasting Father, everlasting law,
Amen.
Everlasting commandments.
Amen.
Shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Have your seat this morning. This is a great day. This is Sunday. It's the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it's the Lord's day. Declaring the day of God. Hallelujah. Let me read to you from the book of Luke this morning. I like this version from Luke about Jesus sending out this 70. Amen. But once after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them to and to before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. So he was still going to come to those places, but he sent them ahead. They went ahead of him. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is plenteous, great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his vineyard. So clearly speaking, God's intention here actually is not to send them to go and plant. It's a season that God wants to harvest men into his kingdom. So Jesus Christ came preaching the kingdom. Amen. Preaching and inviting the children of Israel, who are supposed to be the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to come in, and he was proclaiming to them the kingdom as an opportunity, as a state of affirmation of God's love for them, that salvation is first of all of the Jews. Amen. Though God knew they would not take it up, but God wanted to feel that he has placed the children of Abraham to be first in being recipients to salvation. So he went proclaiming to them the kingdom. So he actually sent them to go and preach to them the gospel of the kingdom. And in the scriptures, it's called this gospel. Because throughout the days of Jesus, that was the prevalent gospel. This gospel is having to do with the content of delivery. Jesus began to preach that gospel of the kingdom. And everywhere he sent these people to, he sent them to go and preach that same gospel. Because that's the gospel that can actually bring salvation. That's the only means by which men can truly be saved. Praise God. In Matthew 24, and it says, and this gospel, it didn't say that gospel, this gospel is referring to what he was preaching at that time. This gospel of the kingdom. So the gospel is not just any just gospel. There is a particular gospel or particular message or particular interpretation. In gospel actually is interpretation. All of us, we have the Bible, right? And there's only any church you go to get to who doesn't have the Bible. We have the Bible and we have ministers of the gospel who preach the Bible to us. So it is what they say from what the Bible is that is the message. Oh, read Matthew so and so, we read it. Then I will come and preach the message from what I've read, which is interpretation of what that verse is talking about. So the gospel is not just in the Bible, the gospel is in preaching. What did I say? Say it again, come on, say it again. It's in the preaching. So we can have the same Bible and have different preachings. Different preaching. So the essence of preaching actually is to bring the interpretation of what the prophet have said. That interpretation is what is called prophecy. And that is the only way by which men can be saved. Can you say with me, amen?
Amen.
What I say? That is the only way by which men can be saved. Outside that interpretation, men will not be saved. So when you hear another gospel, it's not that men are preaching from another book outside the Bible. But men preach another interpretation. For example, somebody read Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For yes, Luke says, to preach good tidings to the poor. So I'm sent to you to preach good news for your prosperity. God wants you to prosper. He doesn't want anyone to be poor among his people. It's an evil to be poor. Poverty is from hell. I'm saying to lift you from poverty to prosperity. That's not what the Bible, that's not what that place is saying. You know what I'm saying now? You are preaching, but you're not giving the right interpretation. So when man hears that, they can respond to it. They can even have testimony of more money, but they will not be saved. Because having more money is not being saved. So the times is changing. It's moving from Bible churches to churches of the message. The churches of the message. The churches of the kingdom message. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, Paul was saying something that was very, very important. Because he wants his desire that all men will be saved. Amen. He has so much passion for the Jews, his kinsmen in the flesh, that they also will experience what he has experienced. That's the utmost burden in the heart of Paul or through his life. When he said that he wants himself to be accursed, he wouldn't want to be accursed, to be taken away from. That's how much he was passionate about salvation of the Jews. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So in 10 verse 13, I say, whosoever, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you read that place with me again? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then in order to explain, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So no matter how much they want to, they are supposed to call upon the Lord or respond to the Lord. Call is not actually talking about your verbal response, it's about response of the heart to righteousness. Amen. Are we in the house together? So How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It is the how shall they hear without reading the Bible? It is the how shall they hear without reading the Bible? How shall they hear without a preacher? And that's why the devil hates preachers. No matter how sincere you are, they want to ensure that you are not able to preach that message. They will fight you, they will do all manner. From our birth, we have been configured with a manner that will not be able to allow us to preach the message. With our all experience, imagine you just grew up in your life and all through your life, you struggle to break even. Maybe for the first 10 years of your life, you were wearing slippers. For the first time you wear a shoe, it was when you were in Genesis 3. Poverty has threatened you, has threatened your family. You struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. The first time you have a means in life, you want to solve that problem. Because that poverty experience has left a mark in your soul. That mark is not God's mark, it's the mark of the evil one. It's a mark of remembrance to always call you for reason why you should live. You should live to prove that God that you have found can lift up a man. So if you believe in Jesus, that will be the next thing that will be calling for answer. If you have the Holy Ghost, that will be next thing that will be calling for anything you learn next, it will be calling on to you, solve that problem. It won't let you feel that you are fulfilled. He has left an hunger. Instead of an hunger for righteousness, he has left an hunger for a natural sustenance. For people like Peter, there were men who have gone through the law, who have attained certain form of righteousness that looks approved by God. And when the demand comes for this salvation program, he was not willing to let it go. He was not willing to let it go. God gave him a vision experience 3 times the lower a meal for him in the vision, not in real life, to see how much his heart has been circumcised with Judaism. Not in real life, in a vision, 3 times. And he said, "Let me, not so, Lord." He has enough energy to say, not so, Satan, not so, Lord. I know you are the one talking, but this is not the way to do it. That is how the enemy has dealt with us. Some of us, maybe you were brought up from a very prosperous background, all of that, and your mindset in life is that is how life should be. He also used that to help you in the gospel. So there's nobody who by himself is less a messenger of the gospel. You will preach another gospel, no matter how sincere you are. He did all of that to ensure that God's will not be done. He knew that God will need men. God won't come down and preach it. You can have your intention. We can't stop it. You have the timing. You won't change your mind. But the vehicle of doing it, we will make sure it is impossible. So how shall they preach except they be sent? How should they preach except they be sent? That is the issue there. And in God described, if they are sent, they must have a beautiful feet. They how beautiful are the feet? So heaven must have come to beautify their feet, to want to translate that message to a lifestyle that corresponds to what God is saying. They will not only hear what you are saying, they will also see the conduct that correspond to the message. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So it's not just to preach the gospel. There must be glad tidings of good things. Remember that letter of good things is what is accepted. Expected to make us come to acceptable time. If they are there, then men can have hope of salvation. If they are not, if they are not at the point of the acceptable time, there's no way there's hope for salvation. It's in the acceptable time that men can have hope. So you can say, "I want to be saved," but there's no hope. The hope is what we become through the message of the acceptable year. Amen. In the acceptable time, I have secured it. Today is the day of salvation. So it is from the acceptable time that there's a hope of salvation. If we don't get there, there's no hope. We can wait to be saved. We will not be saved. Because being saved has to do with sending the message that can bring that salvation experience. Praise God. So, in the place I read there, Jesus sent them out two by two. And they came back. You know, when they came back, you know what was exciting about it? They're coming back. It's about the devils that responded to their command. All of that. We know all the story. But Jesus' response is my interest there. I like that response in the Luke version. It said, notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. Now, what Jesus was saying, that it doesn't mean that their name have been written. Let's see, not next. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good inside sight. What actually is talking about? He's talking about those people to whom these things will be revealed. They only went and they were saying what Jesus was saying. It was not yet revealed to them, right? So Jesus was speaking to the future. Why that happened? Jesus was seeing a time when that will really happen. So he rejoiced in the spirit that what we do that has begun to happen. At least men are going to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom. Amen. And all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but who the Father, and to who the Father is, but to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto him, his disciples, and said, privately, blessed are the eyes, which see the things that ye see. Let's go back in 18. Thank you. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It is that I behold Satan. I beheld. So I've been seeing it before time, how it will fall. And now I'm seeing it again, that it will fall. Because it's also a light in the heaven. Are we in the house, please? Satan is a star. It's called Lucifer. The morning star. It's a morning star. It's a morning light. It's a light. It's actually one of the... It's a glory of the cherubs. It's called a covering cherub. So it's not just a cherub. It's a covering. Or it's a leading cherub. Covering means governmental. It governs the cherubic realm. So among the cherub is a man of authority. So it's a morning star or morning light. It's not just anything that can tamper with him. He has a strong footing in man. He has a legal right over the earth. He has used that for many years, and to him his kingdom cannot be shaken. But Jesus said, I beheld him. This guy is coming down. And when this gospel began to be preached, I remember again, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Amen. So, if he's falling from heaven, something must have dealt with him to take him down from heaven. So, actually speaking, it is the gospel that will take him down. Are we in the house, please? So when I say men are saved, it means we are sent and caught his feet, his stay, because he's staying there by his feet. Romans chapter, is it 16? Paul was talking there. He said, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So it means that there's a program to bruise him. In Genesis, he said to the woman, "Is going to this serpent is going to bruise your heel.
But you will crush his head. You will crush the strength. Because the strength of Satan is his head. All his information is in his head. So, it's a man who has power upstairs. But it will bruise your heel. It can crush your work. But your own goal is to bruise his head. So, you are talking about a season when God has determined that this light will come down because other light will ascend. So it's a replacement. It is the gospel will be preached and we set men to replace the same place that the enemy has taken for many years. So his authority will be brought down. I beheld Satan as lightning. I read yesterday from Matthew 24. Let's go back there. Matthew 24. Verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. It will be made visible through preaching. And for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember what they ask him is that what is the sign of that coming? Is that not what they asked there? And you remember that in verse 14, I said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the major agenda of the end is to trigger the coming. So this gospel of the kingdom is the gospel that is to trigger his coming, and it's not going to come if the devil is still taking his place in the air. What he beheld must come to pass. What I say? What is so many years ago? That Satan, not just demons, Satan will be cut down. What I say? Jesus said, I saw it. I saw that it will be cut down. And in his coming program, there must be emissaries that will do that. So the essence of preaching the gospel of the kingdom is to raise those emissaries. Is to ensure that men are raised to be able to arise as light. Remember I said, arise and shine. Are you with me, please? For thy light is come. Arise. So, arise is ascend. It's take your place. So, it is the preaching of the gospel that will make men ascend. They need to leave the realm of the earthly to the realm of the heavenly. Are we in the house, please? Where the advantage of the devil is that it's an heavenly being. It's not an earthly being. So it can give the whole of the earthly system up and will still have an advantage. Because he has access to what other creatures don't have access to. Praise God. The gap ahead of the cherubs, no creature has ever been there. Is the firmament. That's what it's describing in Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel gave the vision of the cherubs. And that vision, you know, the vision of the four living creatures whose life is in the wheel, right? Remember that? And everywhere they go is where the wheel walk. All of that. It was a vision of a cherub. He said, I saw a firmament upon the head of the cherub. There is upon the firmament that's where the throne is placed. Under the firmament were their wings straight and one towards the other. Everyone had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. That's why you know that they are cherubs. They have four wings. Amen. You know, the seraphs have six wings. I want us to see the essence of what we are hearing at this time so we can see that it is important we take it to it. It's mercy bringing back the gospel to us and being preached in this way. It has not always been preached like that in the past. And it's not because men wanted to do evil. No. Because it was not made known to them. I'm telling you. So it's a matter of a due time, right? Because the devil we are dealing with now, age where we're dealing with Satan. Satanic. We have seen the age of the church where they deal with demons. You know that? I went in the house, please. Where somebody will be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and will be a trouble to the whole village. He will send out the witches out of the village. Have you heard that before? Just born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll go back home and organize a crusade. And all witches will leave the village. Or they will die. Things that are terrible will die in the village. And everybody will turn. Amen. When you watch Mount Zion, that is the order they manage. The days of the such revival, but that day is actually going. The wish is repeated again. Because the devil we are handling is not the devil at that level. It's not just the demon in your village, not the witches. No. We are talking with authorities who have been empowered with wickedness. Whose job is not to cause accident. Is to ensure that souls are not able to ascend to God. Yeah, devour souls and make them useless for God. Let them live on the earth for 100 years and live for what is nothing. What will not be remembered. So there have been seasons on the earth here. And there have been level of confrontations. Now, you will understand that when you read in the Bible, the devils that the apostles also confronted changed from time to time. When you read the Bible, you see the way the church grew and see devils changing color. At first, it was sicknesses, diseases, demon of paralysis, all of that they were confronting in the early days of Acts. Each time you feel you don't have the anointing, what do? You go and read Acts. And then you feel your energy is going drop it down. You want to feel the Holy Ghost. But then you read the 3 chapters in Acts, you just be jumping. You are charged back again. You know what I'm saying? You see, it's like Acts. It's not Acts of the Apostles, it's Acts of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost manifested himself in those days. But that can bring Satan down. It was the beginning of a program that should climax in something. Satan's feet must be brought down. So I'm just trying to say that the man that fell is a cherub from a very high height. So I was reading this place, and they went and heard the noise of their wind, like the noise of the great waters, and as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech as the noise of an host. And they stood, and they laid down their wings. These are cherubs. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their head. So there was a firmament over their head. As high as they are, there's a gap between them. See? They're not close to God. Firmament over their head. The voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. Let's read further. And about the firmament that was over their head. Are you there? Was the likeness of a throne. It's just even likeness of a throne. It's not the very image of the throne. It's the likeness of a throne. As the appearance of a man above upon it. Can you say above? So anything that we deal with this creature must be above them. If the message does not come from above them, you can't be moved. Nothing moves them. They are high. But there's a space above them where the throne of God, because it's above that throne that God's throne is placed. Amen. So the message of the kingdom must be message of the dominion above their head. It must be above their head. If it's not preaching above their head, you can't deal with him. You can't. So when you are hearing the message of the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom, you know they are also everlasting creatures. So it means that the gap over their head is everlasting above the everlasting of the creation. Before you can move to the throne, you have to span the everlasting into God's everlasting. That is where men are built to be incorruptible. In their realm is corruption. That's where corruption ceases. Above their head is where there's incorruption. I don't know if you're what I'm saying now. So they need to raise ministers that can preach that's above their head, that has the message above that head. If you will bruise the head, because it is the head you must bruise. So you must be above to bruise his head. So When Jesus said, I beheld Satan, he was looking at the message. It is the message he was looking at as the answer to that vision. This guy is coming now. Because the gospel of this kingdom, this gospel, and we have to go back to this gospel. So these days in this place, the job is that many years ago, when I began to see some of these things, we have to start praying that God raise men whose feet have been beautified with the preparation. There must be a preparation. There must be the first thing. Men who just preach good tidings are not enough. Are we in the house, please? They're not enough. Those tidings are just preparation for the gospel. It's the preparation for the gospel of peace. So after they have been prepared, there's the real short thing. There's, if you are prepared for a thing, the major cause is coming, right? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, the tithings of the time that's God acceptable, is a preparation to ensure that men can handle that gospel. If men can reach to the time, not everyone was saying the time, that in the acceptable year, there are times. There is the acceptable time, which is the last time of the acceptable. Now, this is this one. There must be people who can handle that acceptable time and the day of salvation. Paul said, now is the, for he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. Oh, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, say behold. I can't hear. Come on, say behold. He said, look for a time. A time is coming that there will be acceptable time and day of salvation together. They are actually separate time. They are separate. So men that will preach above the head of the cherubs and men who can handle both acceptable time and the day of salvation. That is the sphere that is above them. It above them. It demystifies their secrets. There's nothing they are doing that is hid anymore. The light from there shines and everything is demystified. Everything called wickedness, evil, that looks so technical, difficult to see. They have used that to govern nation, govern people. They have used that to govern even churches. They have used that against ministers, ministries, churches. Sincere men, sincere people, they have used that against them. Advantage from that height. Imagine you pray and fast and fast. Want to go in the ministry? And you step out there 6 months, they vire you. They get you out of the place. You spend years serving their purpose. That's what they call spiritual wickedness. In high places. They are spiritual. They have high tech thoughts. It will make sense to you. Very serious sense to you. Sir, how could they have turned ministers to natural men? After a man has tested of good, all of that, they turn him to natural. You just become sensual. After some years, a man who has been the Holy Ghost just becomes sensual. He just becomes academic. All of a sudden, you just see the glory of academics. Something that shall have been run out and leak out. I went in the house, please. No, you know what? After you have handled all this message and you want yourself to be a professor, something still makes sense to you still. I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's still a glory, a beauty you are seeing in it. It's not you. They are baiting you. So they don't care about your heights. They will say things to you. So, I'm just saying that it's great mercy to begin to hear the voice from those terrain, okay? And that's why we have to attend to the things we hear. It's not human effort to... No. Help is come. When he said, in the day of, I have succored thee. To succor is to bring help. And help are ministry gifts. They are ministers. That he has helped. Are we in the house, please? We can't be helped except we say, he sees many as helped. I tell you, we all die here. We all die here. Do church or get angry, leave church. It doesn't make you more safe. I'm saying, no. I don't know what the church has become. No. You react to leave church. It doesn't even get you better. So every one of them, all of us have been taken care of in their picture, in their design. Anything you're angry with, they have a place for you. Oh, he's angry with that, or you put him there. They have to make the whole head strata. Your thinking is aligning with the strata. So I think, okay, it looked like us in this manner. So there's no escape. Amen. The only way of escape is to receive mercy. Are we in the house, please? That heaven has provided. I believe the Lord has loved us at this time. And that's why I want us to pay attention to these things. A blessing has come these past days. I want to believe that help to take the accepted time and day of salvation is coming to us gradually. Amen. Amen. That we have sins from that realm. And indeed, we will be saved. Amen. And the feet of the enemy will be cut down. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.